Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of assembling today. Lord, we just thank you for bringing us all together. And Father, now the preaching and teaching of your word, we pray, Father, that you give the preacher your power, give him the message he has for us, Father. May your word penetrate our heart. May we live it as we go, Father. May our anchor hold in thee as we go every day, Father. We ask you. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. 516.
Jim put a basket there with Mike Hoover's name on it.
Yes, that's correct. So the basket there is in front of the regular offering box is there on the table. So you can put your gifts from Brother Hoover there in that basket. Okay, thank you, Sam, for putting
it. Yeah, the basket's marked, so you don't have to worry about marking anything. Just put whatever you put in the basket's going to be for the microphone.
Okay, sounds good. All right, any questions about that? Okay. All right, like I said, I don't have any other announcement at this point. Let's turn to number 530. The Lord's our rock and him we hide, our shelter in the time of storm.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Excellent songs on comfort, being sheltered in the arms of God, we've been singing throughout the morning. All right. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 2. Before we get into that, by way of announcement, after the service, if you are inclined to greet me with a handshake, I don't mind. If you want to simply wave or fist bump or, as they're encouraging, elbow bump, you're welcome to do that as well. I won't be offended. I know there are varying levels of concern about the goings on, so I have thoroughly washed my hands right before service, used hand sanitizer, so I don't suspect I'll give you anything. But if you have something you want to share with me, it's okay. All right, I won't be offended if you just want to wave or say hello from a distance. That doesn't bother me. Some are more concerned about immune systems and so on, and I perfectly understand that. Secondly, as I announced in Sunday school, the President of the United States has requested today to be a National Day of Prayer. And as I said, I think whenever a leader of that status or stature requests for a day of prayer, I think it's appropriate. And so I'm going to take the liberty, and we're going to have a time of prayer right now. The message today is ironically more like a Sunday school lesson, a little bit of a Bible study, than a typical Sunday morning message, but that's okay. So what we'll do now is we'll take a short time for prayer. I would recommend, I'm not insisting, but I would recommend that we have three main prayer requests, that we pray for the Lord's continued protection over our country. While there is a great deal of panic over the coronavirus, the actual numbers of those infected, those who've succumbed to it, are still very, very small. We can be thankful for that. Secondly, I would suggest that you pray for our president. It's a good thing to pray for those that have authority over you. It's biblical, and when one of them requests a day of prayer, I think that's appropriate as well. And then thirdly, I would highly suggest that you pray for the church here, that they find God's man to be your pastor. And so that's something I'm sure you should have been praying for the last several years, but definitely should be praying for specifically now. So those are my three suggestions. If you have other things that are pressing on your mind, you can pray for them. I ask that you not go long. But do we have any volunteers for those who would like to pray? And we'll do it in an orderly fashion. No? Okay. Go ahead, Ralph. Anybody else? All right. Go ahead, Jason. After Jason is finished, if anyone wants to join in, you're welcome to do so. Ms. Cheryl, you can go after Jason. Anybody after her, you go ahead and pray. And when there's been a suitable enough silence, I'll go ahead and close. So we'll go Ralph, Jason, Ms. Cheryl. Anyone wants to join in after that, you're welcome to do so.
Father in heaven, we thank you for each one who's here today. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it is forever settled in heaven. And we do not need to fear what men shall do unto us. Thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for without it, we would all be lost and on our way to hell. We pray for these requests, as mentioned by Brother Mark. We definitely want to pray for our country. We live in a present evil age, and our country is no exception. And so many men and women in leadership are not following your word and your ways. and have turned this country toward the ways of the devil. And as we noted last week, the enemies that we all face, the world, the flesh, and our own, and the devil, our own flesh bothers us probably more than anything else. And we pray that your spirit would guide and direct each one of us, that we would follow in your path, and that your spirit would have the victory over our own flesh. And as our president has requested, we pray for him specifically. We believe, for the most part, he has been trying to lead our country in the correct direction. Some of his methods may not be according to our liking, and no doubt not according to your word, but we do pray that you would give him and the men and women working with him wisdom to know what is right, and that you would help him to stay focused on the task at hand, not be overwhelmed by the situation we're facing right now as a country and in the world too. We do pray for each one of us that you would continue to protect each of us, that we would be smart and take precautions as necessary, but not be overwhelmed. And we also pray for our church here, that we would stay unified and draw closer to you each day. We pray that you would guide the five of us on the search committee, that we would do the things that would honor you with our attitudes and our actions. And may we do what we should be doing, and we ask for your help and your guidance as we search for your man for this place. We do not know how long we have left. This present evil age is highly indicative of the soon return of our Lord Jesus. And we pray that until he comes, that we would be faithful in doing what would please you. We thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Our Father, we come before you this morning and we're thankful in the midst of turmoil and tribulation. We're thankful for your Son. And without him, we've got no reason to meet here. This is just a waste of time if he hadn't shed his blood on the cross for our sins. Mm-hmm. And then that wasn't all. He sent the Comforter to indwell inside each of us. And we take him everywhere we go. And I, for one, am so glad that even after salvation, some of the places I've gone, some of the paths I've gone down, were not always godly. But he didn't leave me there. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that when the vessel is broken, he didn't just throw the pieces away, but he picks them back up, puts them back together. And though we may see cracks and scars from where it was put back together, he still can use us. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for the folks that make up this church, this building, the people that come here that are the church. And Lord, we really are like sheep without a shepherd right now. We don't have a pastor. And we desire that. And we know that you already know, you've known from the beginning who the next pastor of Ray Street Baptist Church is going to be. And though we may not, we know that in your timing you'll bring him to us. And we may already know who he is, but you haven't seen fit that now is the time. And so, whatever the reason is, help us to learn patience. Help us to learn to lean on you better. Help us to follow your footsteps better. And help us to have our hearts right so that help us not to walk so much by sight, but more by faith. And I believe that when we do that, you will send the man that you have for us. And I pray for this country. I pray for the leaders of this country. Certainly, I don't agree with all the ways, but I know that when you walked this earth, there was very much disagreement then as well with the leaders of your day. So I know that you know what this is like. And it's very likely that we have more freedoms here than when you walk this earth. And we thank you for that. Pray for our faith that it wouldn't be shaken in times of turmoil and tribulation And this may be nothing compared to what we may see down the road. Help us to be strong in our faith right now, because if we're not strong now, how are we going to be when things get more severe? And help us to follow after you all the more as we see the day approaching. We thank you for what you've done here. We thank you for allowing this ministry to continue for 44 years. And we pray that it would continue until you would come back. Help us to continue to be a light in a dark place. Pray that you bless the rest of the service. Help us to continually be in a spirit of prayer, an attitude of prayer regarding these things. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Oh, Lord God, as we continue in prayer, Lord Father God, we just thank you so much, Father God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Father God, for what he's done here for us here at Richfield Baptist Church. We thank you, Father God, that we don't have to be fearful and that we don't have to worry, Father God, because we know, Father God, that you and your Son, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne, is in control. We know, God, that this is your world, Father God. And we know, Father God, that nothing is going to happen in this world, Father God, that you don't allow, Father God. We pray and thank you, Father God, because you do answer our prayers, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the man that you will send, Father God. Yes, Father God, we do need a shepherd here, Father God. We know, Father God, you are our great shepherd. And we know, Father God, that you do have a man, Father God, of your choice, Father God. I thank you, Father God, because, Lord, that you teach us, Father God, about faith, about hope in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God, because you are the answer, Father God, to all of our issues and all of our concerns in life, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for President Trump. I know, Father God, that he's not all that he should be, Father God. But I pray for salvation for this man, Father God, and for his family. I thank you, Father God, for the things that he's doing right in our country, Father God. And I will pray and ask God that you would help him, Father God, through our brothers and sisters, that he runs into contact, because I know that he runs into contact with other pastors and people who do know Christ, Father God, that they would be planting the seed in this president's life, Father God. I pray and ask, Father God, that you help his cabinet, Father God. I pray for the men and women in Congress and the men women in our regional local, Father God, places, Father God, that you will give them insight and guide and direct and encourage them, Father God. I just pray and just thank you for Mark. Thank you for him leading us into this time of prayer. I thank you for prayer because it's holy to you, Father God, because it's personal, Father God, and I just appreciate that he allowed us to take this time, Father God, to come to you this morning. Just pray and just ask God that you bless the message, bless Mark, and bless the people here. Help us, Father God, to learn from the things that Mark is going to teach us. And again, thank you, Father God. I'm so happy that he encouraged us to pray today, Father, because prayer is so necessary. Father God, it's the key to heaven. It's the key to your heart, Father God. It's the key to you answering our prayers. So I just appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we love you. We thank you that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. Lord, we thank you that we are able to bring our requests to you, or that you tell us to, that you're willing to hear them. Lord, we think of several things primarily today while our hearts and minds have many prayer requests. I think specifically of our country. Lord, thank you that you've blessed her in times past. You've withheld a major catastrophe in this case at this point. Lord, we're asking that you continue to do so. Lord, protect your people. Lord, help us not to be petrified in fear. Lord, we have no reason to be afraid. For us to live as Christ and die as gain. Lord, we hesitate or hate to think what would happen if it were a truly tragic event that would rack the whole country. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be lights during this dark time. as people scurry about in fear and uncertainty, there's one thing that we know, is that you are still God, you are still on the throne, none of this caught you off guard. Lord, you've allowed it to happen for a reason. We ask that you would guide the powers that be in their decisions, that they would have wisdom. Lord, I thank you primarily for the president today having the forethought to ask for today to be a day of prayer. Lord, we haven't always seen that, where our presidents would ask for a day of prayer. We thank you for his discernment in this instance, at least. Lord, we ask that you would protect him physically. Lord, I don't think him to be a saved man, but we ask that those that I do know that are saved and are close to him, that they would be lights and witnesses and testimonies before him. Lord, that he would see his need of a Savior and come to a saving knowledge of you. Thank you for things that he tries to do from a biblical perspective. Work deeply in his heart where he doesn't do things from a biblical perspective. Lord, we think of the church here and our heart's burden for these last 3+ years is that they would find God's man for them to be a shepherd. Lord, we ask that you would make it abundantly clear, not only to the pulpit committee, but to the rest of the church when they find that man or when it's revealed to them, when it's made clear. Lord, we ask that they would have a oneness of mind, a unity in spirit, a humble desire to have that pastor and to move on and to march on for your sake. Lord, we'd never know how much time we have left. Lord, help us to serve you in the time that we do have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter 2. Last week we looked at verses 15 and 16. We saw that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse number 16, we looked at 3 specific things. Remember, we took them out of the verse and we saw that for all that's in the world is not of the Father. Then we looked at those 3 things specifically. We saw the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we talked about how those are distinct. They have different applications or different purposes and how they can negatively affect you spiritually, to be sure. The next couple of verses that we're going to look at today, maybe 3 verses, are rather sobering, rather unique, and extremely timely. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world and the things that are in it are temporary at best." Everything that you see won't be here forever. That's simply the way it is. It's amazing how quickly our lives can change, isn't it? A week or so ago, I was considering what seating the Maryland basketball team was going to have in the Big Ten tournament. Partway through the week, I found out there will not be a Big Ten tournament. Wow. Wasn't long before there'll be no professional tournament. Well, at least I have baseball. Nah, not for now, I don't. NASCAR. At least we'll have NASCAR. Not the next 2 races, do we? And so little by little, the things that matter to me from an entertainment perspective that really are not important were taken away from me. Maybe for you too. But the things that we depended upon for entertainment, the lust of the flesh, gone. Why? Because of what's going on around us. It's kind of interesting how that's happened. But the world's going to pass away, the lust thereof, they're going to be gone. Then I want you to look at the middle of this verse. I have found this particular word to be interesting to me. All right, it's an interjection, it's 3 letters long. But, do you remember when we studied the book of Jonah? We looked at those 4 chapters and we looked at how the word but interjects in the book of Jonah. And something will be stated, and then you'll hear the word but. In fact, as an adult, you're used to hearing that. Have you ever heard news, something like this? I'll say, you know, I actually kind of enjoy this restaurant, and most of the time, I enjoy myself there. What's the next word? But. You know it. Maybe in a job review. I hated job reviews. Because the rule of thumb in the business world was you always tell them the good stuff first. And I would always plead with my boss, skip that. Let's get to the bad stuff. And then if you feel like buttering me up afterwards, we can go there. But you know, you'd get the, you're on time, you're this, you're that. Like, get to the but part. That's what we see here in this verse. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but the contrast. What is the contrast? He that doeth the will of the Lord, will of God, abideth forever. There's an alternative. There's a contrast. Pastor one time said, you are immortal. My first thought was, that's kind of a strange way of thinking of yourself. You know, I don't want to go around thinking I'm immortal like a superhero or something. But it was an interesting way that he phrased it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53, for this corruptible, this man, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. See, this body, it's going to get older, it's going to get worse, and eventually it's going to be laid in the ground. But my spirit is going to return to God. It's immortal, it lives on. Man doesn't want to think about eternity. Everything in their lives shows that they don't want to face something on the other side. What do? Anti-aging. Look younger. Feel younger. Be younger. Try to preserve yourself. Some have themselves frozen with the idea of trying to be restored later. They don't want to face that there's something on the other side of this thing called death. But those that do the will of the Father, they're going to abide forever. Now, look down at verse number 18 here in 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that that it is the last time. John's tone here in the book of 1 John has changed from instruction to one of warning. You know, people's tone of voice tells you a whole lot, doesn't it? The tone here in the verses have gone to from telling you things, instructing you, encouraging you, to now here's one of warning. Now, some of us don't take instruction like we should. But warnings are things we should heed to. We should pay attention. We should see if there's merit in them or not. And the warning is, there are going to be antichrists. Now, I know from a perspective of looking in Revelations, I think it's about chapter 13 to the end, you find that there is an antichrist, often referred to as the antichrist. All right? But in 1 John, at that time, there were many antichrists. What does that mean? Is it referring to the one that we find in the book of Revelation? No. It's referring to those that are directly opposed to God, His word, His work, and His people. Now, if in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, there were antichrists then, wouldn't it be wise to think that there are some antichrists now? Do we not see direct opposition to God? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do we have a lot of fools running around? Atheists, against God. That's what an atheist is. The word "ah" means to be against or void of. They wish to think that there is no God and they would oppose Him. So they oppose everything in His word, they oppose His work, and they oppose His people. There are many antichrists. Now, the Bible talks about some times, the last times, what we should expect. A couple of these passages you're very familiar with, and because of time, I'm only going to read through one. If you're taking notes, I'll give you some passages here in a minute. But turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. As a child growing up, these passages would scare me because I wasn't saved. I was terrified that the rapture might happen because I knew if I wasn't saved at the time of the rapture, I would be sent a strong delusion. And that was very, very scary to me. But the Bible tells us what the last times are going to be like. I think you'll find ourselves identifying with them rather easily. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, verses 1 through 9. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Does that sound like 2020? Love yourself. That sounds oddly familiar. Covetous. Do we have a greedy people? Who needs 500 rolls of toilet paper?
Exactly.
Do we have a covetous people? Yes, we do, don't we? Boasters. Let me tell you what I did. Is that modern day 2020 America? Yeah. We're living in perilous times, aren't we? Proud. Blasphemers. That's our culture, isn't it? Blaspheming against God, taking credit for what he's done, trying to change what is taught about God, disobedient to parents. If you don't see that, you've been in a dark place for a long time. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. When was the last time you did something for someone they didn't thank you? Does that irk you just a little bit, or is it just me? We're an unthankful culture, aren't we? Unholy. That's us. Without natural affection. That covers a whole gamut of issues, but God has instilled in mankind a natural affection for certain things, people of our own family, but yet, as a society, we've done our very best to break down natural affection. Truce breakers. Can you get by on business deals with a handshake anymore?
No.
No. False accusers. Accusations that don't hold water. Are we in perilous times? Yeah, we are. We sure are. All right. Incontinent. Fierce. People are more aggressive now than in my lifetime. In just the slightest of things, aren't they? Very aggressive. Despisers of those that are good. Used to be those that were godly and holy were admired even by the people of the world. They may not have been agreeing with them all the time, but those that hold a good moral biblical standards are despised. Despised, called the worst names that people can think up of. Traitors, not loyal, heady, high-minded, goes back to proud. Have you noticed as we read through this list that pride, boasters, seems to be repeated? Do you think that's on accident? No. God wanted us to catch that drift. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. A lot of people would rather spend time doing pleasurable things than doing things for God, wouldn't they? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We live in a day where modern worship, modern contemporary services are all about ourselves. Talk to people that go to contemporary services, and when they come out, they feel better. Worshiping God, serving God, isn't about how we feel or how it makes us feel, but are we worshiping the God who has saved us or not? Denying the power thereof. We sing songs out of the hymn book, there is power in the blood. There is power in his name. There are many things that we sing about, but they deny the power thereof. Bible tells us we're to turn away from them. Look at verse number 6. For of this sort are they that creep, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. Immorality? Increasing, isn't it? Led away with divers lust. Here's verse number 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We live in a society where education has a strong emphasis. I'm all for education. What's the purpose of education? The purpose of education should be so that you either serve the Lord directly with that education, or that you're able to earn a living so that you can serve the Lord and bless the Lord with that education. That should be the purpose of education. But people want to learn for themselves. It goes back to pride of life. Pride of life. I have a man on my board with the Conversion Center who has an earned doctorate's degree. So I refer to him as Dr. So-and-so. First time I did that, he pulled me aside and said, please don't call me that. I said, why? I thought you were a doctor. He says, I don't really want anyone to know. He said, I did that for the education so that I could serve my congregation better, but I'd rather not anyone know. I did it strictly to be able to learn more about the scriptures. I respect that. But is that predominant in our society today? No, people ever learning, but that doesn't bring them to a knowledge of the Lord. Now, look at James. Well, I'm not going to look at this one, but you can write in your notes if you're taking them. James chapter 5, verses 3 through 9. Another passage that talks about things that will happen in the last days. Same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 10. But there are various hints in 1 John, you can turn back to chapter 2, various hints in these passages that talk about what the last days are going to be like. John wrote that there were many antichrists, someone who's an opponent of God, His word, His work, and His people. There'll be perilous times, spiritually speaking. Physically, we are in perilous times, true. Not as bad as some in history, that's for sure, but spiritually, we live in perilous times. Back in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." One of the hardest things, and I grew up in a pastor's home, one of the hardest things to understand was when people turned on the pastor or the church and left. Why did they leave? People who swore up and down, promised that they loved the church, loved God, loved his man, my pastor, my dad, and now they're gone. Why did they do that? A pastor friend of mine, Randy King, was at our church Wednesday night. And he pastored for, I think, 42 years in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Now is in evangelism. Has been for, I think, 10 years. And does a lot of traveling. Speaks in hundreds of churches. I think about 150 a year. I mean, he's constantly on the go between conferences and so on. Very seldom home. And he was talking about the pain and heartache of when someone would leave the church. And his former pastor, the man who pastored when he first got saved, asked him a question. And Randy King asked me this question. He says, "When someone leaves a church and it's not for moving, do they usually go to a church that's more liberal or more conservative?" We were driving. It was an insane hour of the morning. He likes to pick early flights out of Baltimore. I think he does it just to spite me because I have to drive him back down there. It's dark at night, and I'm sitting here trying to think. So I go through names of those who left our church growing up. When someone leaves a church and it's not for moving, do they go to a more liberal church or do they go to a more conservative church? So I got through my whole list. And I had an answer. I thought, okay, let's think about different churches I've traveled and spoken in. And so I started going through different churches I've traveled in and started thinking. And I looked at him and I said, "Liberal." He said, "That's the case." Why did they leave? He said, "Was it they woke up one morning and they said, you know what? I'm done with this church. I think I'll go to another church." I said, "No. People don't usually make a life-changing decision on a drop of a hat like that." He said, "They left because they never fully agreed or submitted to the church and its teaching. And finally, they couldn't take it anymore. And something more convenient, something more palatable came." We had a family leave our church. A grandmother still attended our church. The family lived in West Virginia, and they told their grandmother, "We just needed a church that was closer to where we are." They commuted from West Virginia across the Potomac River over to our church, and they ended up going to a church that was further away from home. And they told their grandmother, "Oh, we love the church. We love what it teaches. We love the scriptures. We love the songs. We love the King James Bible." So they went to a church that had contemporary services that did not preach against sin. In fact, the pastor's been commanded not to preach against sin. Had modern worship songs and all that sort of thing. And of course, no King James Bible in it whatsoever. What they meant was they wanted to go to a church that made them feel better with what they thought. What they wanted her to think was they went to a church that was closer geographically to their house. And so she comes and tells us, "Y'all, they just felt like they needed to get to a church that was closer to their home." And we said, "Stop. Think about it. Where did they go? And is it closer to their house or further?" "Well, it's further." Now, I give you those illustrations for you to consider this. Look at the verse. "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Why do some people leave the church? Some people's job moves them. Talking to a pastor recently, he lives near a military base. His church is outside of a military base. He has a transient congregation. That would be hard. Can you imagine getting a good family and knowing you have them for 5 years or less? Guaranteed. That'd be difficult, wouldn't it? You'd constantly have people coming and going. Thankful when they come, sad when they leave. That'd be hard. But those that leave, you should consider what it says here in 1 John chapter 2. Why they leave? Because they're not of us. You say, Brother Mark, that's strict, that's strong. Don't take my word for it. Look at the verse. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. We've had splits in our church. Some of the people left very close to me. I grew up with them, loved them. But they left because they were not of us. Sad, isn't it? But you know what? There are some things that pastors refer to as blessed subtractions. Because otherwise they're going to stir up discontent. They're going to sow discord among the brethren. We talked about that in Sunday school, didn't we? And so we find out that they were not of us. Don't blame yourselves for it. They may not have been with you from the beginning. Next verse, number 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. There's that word. But the contrast to those that left us because they were not of us, if they were of us, they would have remained with us. The contrast to that is we have an unction from the Holy One. The contrast to those that are constantly blown about by every wind of doctrine, can't seem to stand still. There was one man attended our church, he and his family, for several years. And when he left, I was very sad, and I spoke to my pastor, my dad, and I said, isn't it sad that so-and-so left? And Dad said, it's amazing he stayed with us as long as he did. I said, why is that? He said, that man isn't content with himself, much less anyone else. Sure enough, it's been 14 years or so, constantly changing churches. Did I ever tell you a story about the hermit who was marooned on an island? It's a joke, okay? I'm giving you fair warning. But when they found him marooned on an island, they looked and they saw just off the beach, there were three buildings. So what's that? That's my house. Oh, what's the one in the middle? That's my church. So what's the third one? That's the church I used to go to. He couldn't live with himself, right? We find people that are like that. Problem's not you. Stand for what's scriptural and stick by it. People will come, people will go. Do what's right, do what's right. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Several points from this, and we'll close. Number one, true Christians have an anointing, a special blessing from God. It's not to be trifled with. It's not to be made light of. And it's certainly not for sale. Does that sound familiar? Who tried to find the unction or blessing of the Holy Ghost for sale? Book of Acts.
Simon.
Very good. Yes. It's something that the world doesn't understand. They kind of like the side effects of it, wouldn't they? There's an unction from the Holy Spirit. Number two. This blessing comes from the Holy Ghost. Now, there are people that blame the Holy Ghost for a whole lot of things that he has nothing to do with. Oh, the Holy Ghost told me to do this, or the Holy Ghost told me to do that. The Holy Ghost will never tell you something that isn't true, and will never tell you to do something that's not biblical. When people tell me, God told me to do this, or God told me to say that, and it doesn't line up with Scripture, one of two things. Either they're deceived or they're flat out lying. And neither one reflects well on them. The Holy Ghost will never contradict Scripture. 1 John 4:1 tells us, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I've heard preachers say, the Spirit told me to do this, or the Spirit told me to say that. A friend of mine, Manny Rodriguez, you've had him here before, told me that when he had visiting pastors come and speak for him in Puerto Rico, for one reason or another, there were times that he would have to put the preacher on a time constraint. He would say, I need you to be done at a certain time. And at the end of the message, they'd gone way past their time. He'd say, "Brother, I asked you to be done by a certain time." And they would say, "Well, the Spirit told me to go on." And he would say, "The Holy Spirit never told you to directly disobey the pastor of this church." He's right. He's right. Be careful what you blame the Holy Spirit for. It's an unction from the Holy Spirit. It'll always be proper. Number three, the effect of this unction is a biblical wisdom and understanding. With the unction of the Holy Ghost, we are able to know all things. Does that mean we do know all things? No. But we have the ability. As Christians, we fall short of the ability that God gives us. Now, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Just because you have the potential for something does not mean you exercise or properly use it. John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Jesus speaking says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." The Comforter teaches us all things. Does that mean we get it? Does that mean we get it all? No. Saw that in Sunday school, don't we? We struggle with things like that. "But he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The unction from the Holy Ghost provides spiritual calm and spiritual wisdom. But in closing, I want you to look at that last verse. "Peace I leave with you." Now, I was born in the early 80s, full disclosure. Some of you may have been alive during the times of the 60s, during the hippie movement, the peace movement. Were they a very peaceful time?
No.
No. Often, it's my observation that those that constantly talk about world peace, constantly speak of world peace and things need to be peaceful, are some of the most unpeaceful people you'll ever meet in this world. Because they talk about peace, but they don't have peace. God's peace is something that the scriptures say passeth all understanding.
Amen.
The world is literally losing their mind right now.
Yep.
But as Christians, there's a peace that's inside. Why? Is it natural for us? No. It's something that God has given us. It's something that we have. It's not as the world giveth. The world has many different ways, many different aspects. And one day I want to do an in-depth study on this. A friend of mine did. But one of the things that they try to use is yoga. And I've been in contact with some missionaries in Hindu and Buddhist areas and talked about how that's not a peaceful thing at all and all the desperate things that happen as a result of it. But the world tries anything they can to try to bring peace into their lives, and yet we are as troubled a society as we've ever been. Suicides, all-time high. Why is it? Because we're not looking in the right direction for peace. If you don't look to God for peace in your trying circumstances, you're not going to get the right kind of peace, are you? "My peace, that's the one he gives, not as the world giveth unto you." And then he finishes, "Let not your heart be troubled." Does that sound familiar? It should. Turn back to previously in the chapter. Look at verse number 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Towards the end of the chapter, what does he say? "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." We need to guard our hearts. See, the Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful and wicked, and we desperately need to keep a guard on it. How can we do so? With the peace that passeth all understanding. I'm thrilled that you guys had church today. You know, a lot of people were talking about canceling it. In fact, I called Jason, I started getting calls and texts and questions. Are you going to have services? And some people were, even from other churches, their pastors were wondering, are we going to have church services? And so they started asking around. And as far as I know, all the churches in our area, of similar faith, of like faith, had church services today. I'm thrilled that you carried on. Because you know what? I'd rather be here with you than in self-quarantine. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that. I'd rather be with the people of God. You know what? I'd rather be here serving Him and being with you than I would be at home. I'm thankful for that ability. You know what? I'm thankful we have the ability to do so openly.
Yeah.
And as been said earlier today, may come a time where that's not the case, where we cannot worship openly. You may have to do church services by phone or other options of that nature. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But you know what? There's a strange peace in my heart. Why? Is it because of my surrounding circumstances? No. No. Because people in the best of circumstances are losing their minds right now. But they don't have something we have. What is it? The peace that God gives us. It's an unction from the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we should be shining and showing to the world around us right now. If ever there was a time for the gospel light to be out, it should be now. Because we have something they need. They may not want it. I don't know. But that's not my responsibility, is it? It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. Let's be faithful in what God's told us to do and let him take care of the circumstances. It's a strange passage in 1 John. It talks about those that went out from us because they were not of us, but you have an unction. You have a special anointing, a special blessing. Not that we can manufacture. A peaceful heart is something you can't make up. Because you'll know inside things aren't right. That was one thing. Growing up, I pretended to be saved until I was in 9th grade. And those in the church were thoroughly convinced. Some of my family members were thoroughly convinced. But God wasn't. And I wasn't. You know why? I didn't have the peace that passeth all understanding inside. When I got saved, it's a funny story. I'll close with it. The night I got saved, it was Thursday night in evangelistic meetings. My brother was working 3rd shift. I'm typically a fairly light sleeper and can hear anything. Night I got saved, I wanted to tell my brother when he got home from work. So my parents said, if you want to sleep on the couch, you'll see him when he comes in through the living room door in the morning. That night, just outside of the wall where I was sleeping on the couch, just on the other side was my parents' house, someone broke into my parents' car, stole some things out of it, and successfully pulled it off, and I didn't hear a thing. Now I'm a light sleeper. How did that happen? I had a peace that night that let me sleep through a break-in robbery on the other side of a wall. That's unusual. But I had a peace in my heart that I hadn't had, and I desperately wanted. When I got it, I was content. God has strange ways of working. Let's let Him handle the details. And we'll be faithful in what God has told us to do. Now, I don't feel it necessary to end the service on a song. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. My offer remains. If you want to greet me, you're certainly welcome to do so. If you don't, I properly respect it. Let me tell you, we'll be praying for you guys in the next couple of weeks. I'm thrilled that Brother Huber is able to come back and share some of the pulpit responsibilities. We'll be praying for the pulpit committee as they look at the different prospects in front of them. And maybe some other ones that come along, I don't know. God does. But we'll pray that you guys have a unity of mind and a unity of spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for these dear folk. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the peace that passeth all understanding. And Lord, how we would love to see our loved ones and our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends to have the same thing. Lord, help your Holy Spirit work in a convicting way. Help us to be all that we need to be in witnessing and testifying of your goodness to the world around us. Bless these dear folk as they go their separate way. Keep them safe physically. Help them mature spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be dismissed.